150 years later, there is still a Bible gap. In 1816, we distributed 6,000 copies of the scripture. Last year, we distributed 48 million. And still, throughout the world, there is a Bible gap. And we have been called by one of our vice presidents, Senator Pell, to make 1966, our 150th year, the launching pad for the next 50 years of war against spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty. A poverty, he says, caused by three Bible gaps. First, the growing Bible gap between those who have the Bible and those who do not have it because of the population and the literacy explosion. Two, the startling gap between those who have the Bible and read it and those who have it and neglect its reading and its use with understanding. And thirdly, the disappointing gap between those who read it and live it and those who read it and fail to live up to its challenge and to accept its meaning in the life of Jesus Christ. The need for the copies of the Holy Bible is greater than when the American Bible Society was organized. And the society now enters its 150th year of service, with the growth of population and literacy outracing the distribution of the Holy Scriptures. Supplying the Scriptures to the world is a staggering problem. Present world population of about 3 million is expected to reach 3 billion is expected to reach 4 billion more in 20 years. At least 70 million adults are expected to learn to read each year. In the face of this growth in population and literacy, it will take till the year 2000, at the present rate of supply, to provide a Bible for every Christian home, a New Testament for every Christian, and a gospel for every literate. Within the past 20 years, world communism has paid an ironic tribute to the Bible societies by adopting the Bible society's methods of selling books in the language of the people at a price the people can afford. If the communists never published a single book, our reason for Bible distribution would still be the same. But we must be aware of the intense competition from atheistic communism. The American Bible Society has pledged to distribute 75 million scriptures annually by 1966. And in 1966. There are just two things I would like to say in closing. The one I said to a press conference with your Baptist leaders in Nashville last fall. Our Jewish friend Harry Golden from Carolina, speaking at Carnegie Institute, warned the people to beware of computer thinking. For he said, if a computer had taken the religious census at the time of Jesus, he would have found that 50% were for Jupiter, 30% for Mars, 9% for Mithra, and 1% for Jesus. And that little bald-headed Jew and Christian by the name of St. Paul would have said it's no use and gone home if he had paid attention to that IBM computer at that time. But he said St. Paul had a book and he had a faith, and that made a difference. So, one final word. As I said to the advisory council, in conclusion, may I remind you of one verse of scripture: say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Or as one translation has it, let Israel pull up stakes and move towards its goal. The command to go forward is our admonition to assume responsibility in faith, Backward we dare not go. Remain stationary we must not. Forward is the only way, because it is God's way. He is moving forward in the accomplishment of his eternal purpose, and his church may be satisfied with nothing less, but must keep pace with the captain of her salvation. And that in every way, forward in the intellectual apprehension and the spiritual appropriation of God's truth, resulting in a deepening spiritual conviction. Forward in a greater consecration of life in service to God, to the end that the church may be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In all areas of the church's life, in a richer message and a greater fervency on the part of every pastor, and a more loyal response on the part of every member in every local church. In a more complete support of all educational institutions and the whole missionary enterprise at home and abroad. And finally, in a more intelligent, comprehensive, and fervent prayer for the Bible cause and its efforts to make known the living word through the written word. In short, let the church stop playing at this thing and make it the all-consuming passion of its life. Do you and I really believe that we have been redeemed at an infinite cost? That we have the supreme message that can do the business, God's business? That we have been brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God? If we believe that, then let us give ourselves to the cause with utter self-abandonment. Christian friends, these words are the substance or a paraphrase of the words which were written by my father 39 years ago. If the power of a father's faith can be passed on to his son, I pray that I may so demonstrate it tonight, at this moment, and share with you this living witness of the unchangeable power and love of God that never ceases and always calls forth advancement in the translation, the distribution, and the witnessing of God's word. The word is very near to you. It is in your heart and in your mouth, and you can do it. Thank you.
take those over yonder. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and purpose and goodness and grace, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also we trusted after we heard the gospel of truth, the word of our salvation, in whom also after we believed was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, made mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling, the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us, and what the greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and gave him to be the head over all things unto the church, which is his body, where there are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom also the building fitly framed together groweth up into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you builded together for an habitation of God in the Spirit. And unto the church he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Now will you turn in your hymnal to number 28, The Solid Rock, number 28. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now over to number 30. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Let us stand as we sing. Turn now to number 21. Number 21 in your songbook, this beautiful hymn of prayer, we will sing to the tune of Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow. Number 21, O God, we pray for all mankind. Pray for all mankind, the nations
please note the projected names on each side of the stage of some of the persons listed on our prayer calendar for today. Did you hear me? Away in foreign fields, they wondered how their simple word had power. At home, some Christians, two or three, had met to pray an hour. We're always wondering how, because we do not see someone, perhaps unknown and far away, on bended knee. As a missionary to Colombia, South America, this is my testimony of answered prayer. One day, a young Colombian girl was hired as secretary to the chaplain of the Baptist Hospital in Barranquilla, Colombia. The girl was lovely and intelligent and became a valuable asset in the spiritual ministry of the hospital as she worked with my husband, the chaplain. However, her life was shattered with deep personal problems as she lived in the home with an alcoholic father who used her Christian faith as a point of constant quarreling and fighting. Often we shared with Saida these difficult experiences, and my husband and I pledged our prayers to her that God might be able to heal the emotional wounds that such painful experiences inevitably leave. Before our eyes, we witnessed the miracle of answered prayer, and we watched Saida blossom from her struggles and difficulties into a lovely and mature person. As she worked in the hospital, she seemed to have a particular understanding of those who suffered, and others seemed to sense the fact that she too had walked through dark valleys. Furthermore, her testimony of God's power to forgive and to heal and to guide had the ring of authority because it had been a reality in her own life. Then in 1963, after a three-year courtship, Saida was married to one of our fine ministerial students in the city. And again, we shared this precious experience with them, and we reaffirmed our pledge to pray daily for God's leadership in their lives. Almost immediately, they encountered a crisis situation that was very difficult, and they sought our counsel. Again, the miracle of answered prayer occurred. The Lord opened their hearts and made them receptive to the advice of a North American missionary, a foreigner, an outsider. And they took action which demanded a great deal of courage and personal discipline. A short time later, Rujero, the husband, was called to serve as pastor of one of the smaller churches in Barranquilla. The young couple stepped through the open door of service and unreservedly dedicated their time, their energy, and their talent to serve in that place. Thus, it was no surprise that a new vitality and a spirit was evident, and soon there came a revival of interest and attendance in that church. Recently, the church dedicated its new building as a result of Lottie Moon offerings, and our missionary friends write of God's continued leadership and blessing on the lives of the young pastor and his wife. This fall, Rujero and Saida, with their young daughter, baby daughter, will be going to the seminary and college to begin their seminary studies. The economic and the political situation in Colombia is very difficult now, and they will face many very trying experiences during their seminary career. Will you join with us in prayer for this couple who serve as a monument already to answered prayer in Colombia? They have faced trials that would have discouraged most of us, but perhaps they have had the strength and the courage because you, unknown and far away, remember to pray for your missionaries and the lovely people of Colombia. May we pray. Our Father, bless today those of us who have been granted a view of this sin-sick world. We pray that we might be reminded of the life of our blessed Lord who faced similar circumstances and left his mark for eternity upon our world. Grant that we may remember his eagerness not to be ministered unto, but to minister, his suffering with suffering of every kind, his bravery in the face of his own suffering, his steadiness of purpose in keeping to his appointed task, his self-discipline, his serenity of spirit, his complete demonstration that missions and evangelism are not dependent on organization or human might, but on the dedication of surrendered lives to the Holy Spirit of God. And we pray especially today for Mrs. B.W. Hunt from Taiwan, Miss Teresa Anderson from the Philippines, and Mr. George Madison from Detroit, Michigan. Grant that a sense of fulfillment and purpose and joy may be theirs today as they serve faithfully in their respective parts of the world. Make them aware, our Father, of our dedicated prayers for them and the nationals with whom they work. And now, O Lord, we spread before Thee all that troubles us, our mistakes, our errors, our transgressions, our rebelliousness, our bitterness, our sorrows and our cares, our whole life, our heart, that is better known to Thee than it is even to ourselves. We commit all of this in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.